Welcome back, 7 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero. Top text, just heard that the Chiefs did not pick up Kadarius Toney's fifth-year option. Yes, we talked about that earlier. That was a rather obvious choice that the Chiefs made during that situation. Speaking of Cody singing, Chris, did you know MJ Melinda's song coming out tomorrow, I guess?
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to it.
It worked for Vinny, and it worked, obviously, for Mikel Garcia.
I don't believe in that. I'm good. Like, I've heard enough Cody singing over the years. There's people that like
to
it.
His MJ?
There's people that like it. That's cool. It's not for me.
It worked, though.
I like good music. I don't believe in that. I don't think that had any effect on Vinny's performance.
Well, it'll be tomorrow is when.
But baseball fans are very superstitious.
Yeah,
so
it's creative. He spends a lot of time on it.
Oh, it's cool. It's not for me. It's not for me.
He spends a lot of time on it.
I've heard him do a lot of stuff over the years. And, you know, hey, I'm sure there's a lot of people that like that. It's not for me, though.
Well, oftentimes GMs don't really tell you exactly what they're going to do in their pre-draft press conference because it's smoke screens.
Most GMs are not going to tell you what they're going to do.
They don't. They don't. But what's your favorite Veach moments the last couple of years? Was it a couple of years ago when he talked about the hot zone, the second and the third round, he was 100% right? Or last year when he talked about getting a running back, or 2 years ago when he talked about getting a running back that can be undrafted or, you know, late round pick like he did Pacheco, that can be a formidable runner. He was seventh in the NFL in rushing. So every year he's giving you kind of a little nugget.
Just a little, sometimes you got to dig for it because sometimes like they'll like make you think it's one thing and it's actually another. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like there's always some sort of hint at what they're going to do in the draft. And, you know, I mean, I think it was pretty obvious what the deal was this year.
Well, I think what he said about the name, image, and likeness kind of changing things, because in all intents and purposes, 5 through 7 rounds are going to be different now in the NFL. Jim Nagy at the Senior Bowl, director of Senior Bowl, said the same thing. They had trouble filling out that roster. He's talking about rounds 5 through 7. It's not as deep. Brett Veach was talking about that same thing.
Right, but I think if you look at the way that they approached the draft, I think that they knew. I think that there's some guys that they liked, and I think they decided, hey, 5 through 7, let's go take these guys.
You get that value. Like I said, Halloween candy, man. Instead of buying it the day before when you spend all that money, buys it afterwards. Discount.
Rounds 5 and 7, they got interior linemen. Round 6, they got a corner that they liked. I mean, I do think that they are probably very happy with what they got on, you know, after round 4. Because
I like the draft.
Me too.
First to the fourth round, I see guys that contribute on this team for sure. Later on the draft, it's going to take some development, but rounds, and again, 2 years ago, I think, was draft a necessity. Last year is more of luxury. This year is kind of a combination of both. But this is what Brett Veach said before the draft. And tell me anything at all. It's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I don't know if it does, just because I think we have a lot of needs. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, you go into every draft. I mean, you can look at our roster, and I think short of quarterback, you know, maybe linebacker. But I think that there's needs on the offensive line for sure. I mean, you know, guard center depth, competition at left tackle, receiver, there's a need. Cornerback, we just lost Snead. We do have some good young guys. We do have Nazi Johnson coming back. But the corners are hard to find. You know, we could probably throw safety in there too, because I think we really like Shamari Connor and Cook and Reed. So, I mean, look, I think that it's one of those scenarios where I think there's a lot of positions that would make sense for us. And again, you start at the O-line, D-line, and receiver position. But it's a long season, and, you know, depth is super important to us. And also, you know, guys' contracts do run out. And, you know, I think anytime you get a player that you think can come in here and challenge for a starting position right away, I think you go in that direction.
So you listen to that. Everything he said there was exactly what he did. It's for the draft. Okay, offensive line depth. Get some left. So Hunter Norzad comes in here, Penn State, who played center last year, can play all over the offensive line, that versatility. C.J. Hansen out of Holy Cross, only the second player drafted from Holy Cross since 89. Kamal Haddon, so he gets his corner in round 6, a guy that led Tennessee in interceptions the last 2 years. Brings in Kingsley to battle Wanye at tackle. So throw in a safety, he got Jaden Hicks. Dane Brugler's number one safety in his draft guide, the Beast. Not only that, his 39th player total on his big board. Out of all the players in the draft, he was player 39. So, boom, everything he said there is exactly what he did, Chris. Like, everything.
I will say this. I don't think everything was him like, we got to get this position here. I think there was a lot of value that was taken into account.
He left it open, but he spotlighted exactly what he did.
Because, like, if you look at, like, safety, I don't think they would have drafted a safety if not for Jaden Hicks sitting right there, 133.
It was like the perfect storm of guys. Yeah, it's like,
I think they looked at 133 and they just could not believe that he was still on the board.
Yeah, it was probably a quick card turn in.
I think it was a very quick card turn in. I think they were like, let's see if he makes it past 132. And when he did, I think they just they were like, hey, let's go get him. And you know, I it worked out, obviously. I think for them, they were kind of looking at Jared Wiley and like, you know, we think he's got a skill set that certainly fits what our future plans are. But I think the big one there for them, 133, they were like, man, we can't believe he's still on the board. So I do think...
I think there's a whole lot of that the whole time.
Yeah, I think Jared Wiley might have been that too, but I think more so, you know, for Hicks, it was as well. And then, you know, like I said, I think for sure they were kind of gauging the value of Suamataia and seeing what his value is and whether or not they could wait. Because, you know, they certainly were in on him and there was talks about them getting him at 32. But, you know, I think for them it was a lot of value. Nate Taylor came out today and said that they were interested in trading up to go get Amarius Mims. So apparently they think that he was left tackle candidate.
I'm glad that didn't work out.
Very glad that didn't work out. I do not think he's a left tackle, and I would not trust the fact that he has been injured.
The eight starts haven't sold you?
Yeah, so I'm saying, I was like, he got hurt a lot, and you know, he doesn't have a lot of playing time in general, so that does concern me. And I think Xavier Worthy is going to play out a lot better for them just because you're going to be able to get that firepower in the offense.
He will help them more this year.
I think so, too. I think he'll help them more long-term because, like, I just think that sort of explosiveness, that sort of playmaking ability as a pass catcher, that's something you got to value for sure.
And at least at this point, people are starting to change the narrative a little bit. Like, oh, man, this guy can play football, too. He's not just a speed guy. He's much more than that. Again, last 3 years, Malik Nabers, Romo Odunze, Xavier Worthy, the top three receivers in yards. He had 28 touchdowns at Texas. He can do more than be a fast guy. We liked him back in September. You know, we kind of backed off because essentially he's the same size as Hollywood Brown. Everybody's talking about his weight. Hollywood Brown was 166 at the combine. Xavier Worthy was 165. It was very close.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like I understand the size issues. And, like, my thing is this. If you're worried about him getting hurt, I think you do have legitimate concerns just because football is a very dangerous game and very violent. And we've seen a lot of bigger players get hurt a lot. So if that's your case, sure. If you're worried that he's a flop because he's just simply because he's small and fast and he kind of seems like he's going to be John Ross, then I kind of feel like the analysis is lazy. And
yeah,
is,
I'm about sick of that.
Yeah, and like, look, people are going to say that until he proves it. But, like, you know, I think Colin Coward was it Sunday night, basically said that, you know, Xavier's not going to work because he drops the ball a lot. And which is not true. I mean, he dropped as many balls or less than Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Troy Franklin. What's his name? What's the other guy?
Romo Odunze.
Not a Romo Odunze.
It's like a 5%
Brian
drop
Thomas,
rate.
Brian Thomas Jr. He dropped just as many or less than all four of those guys, really. And so the drop rate's not an issue. And I just think that when you look at his production in all 3 years that he played in at Texas, it's very obvious that the kid knows what he's doing. He came in at the very beginning of his career and was almost a 1,000-yard receiver. And so I would speak to that much more than I would speak to, you know, all the talk of comparisons with him with other guys who didn't quite work out.
Yeah, but the drop rate is that's an unfair thing on Xavier Worthy.
It's not an unfair thing. It's an uninformed thing because they're just plain wrong about it. It's not like it's an issue where he had a whole bunch of drop issues, but there's, like, missing context. He didn't have any drop issues. He had just as many drops as most guys out there, save for, like, an Odunze or an A.D. Mitchell.
But if you watch Texas this year, he was a huge part of what that team did. And he had to sit there and wait for Quinn Ewers to deliver the football because he, a lot of times, would outrun it. He's not going to have that problem with Mahomes.
Yeah, Quinn had a big problem under throwing the football. Really big problem.
Him and A.D. Mitchell.
He was incredibly inaccurate down the field. And I think that's the reason why he ended up deciding to go back to Texas because If I were an NFL GM and I saw that on film, there's no way I'm drafting him any time on the first 2 days. Like, I think he probably, I think there's a good chance he probably would have fallen out of the first 2 days of the draft, because you watch him on film and he was missing a lot of throws, either overthrowing or usually underthrowing. And when you're underthrowing guys 20 yards down the field, like, that's not an NFL starting quarterback.
No, it 1 year more year will help him out a lot.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of guys that just don't fix that issue. So I can't say for sure that'll happen.
I just think that drop rate thing was completely
overblown. It was lazy. And like I said, I just think a lot of people are inventing reasons why they don't like him because he's small that have nothing to do with his weight.
Troy Franklin's drop rate was 7.3%. Keon Coleman, 7.2%. Marvin Harrison Jr., 6.9%. Ladd McConkey, 6.3%. Xavier Worthy, the lowest of that group at 5.4%. So that narrative's out the window.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's just an excuse for you don't like him. If you don't like him, that's fine. I mean, that's okay. It's your opinion. But
and you're talking about
come with a coherent reason why you don't like him.
Academic All Big 12 guy, Xavier Worthy. He was diagramming plays not only where he should be lined up, but where everybody blocked and pass protection for him. It blew teams away. Just how it's kind of a theme of the Chiefs. They get these team captains, get these cerebral football guys that can step right in. As I told Dusty earlier, it's like the Steelers or the Patriots. You know, when you're drafted, you're expected to play. There's no training wheels. You can't sit there and wait and wait and wait. No, this team wants a three-peat.
I think most teams want someone to come in and immediately.
There's training wheels with some teams. And the Royals kind of had that too.
Some players. I don't think it's necessarily teams. It's just some players require it. But I don't think very many teams out there are like, yeah, we just want you to not play your rookie year. Like, I think every team wants to take advantage of that rookie contract as quickly as they can. So I think every team's policy, unless you're like taking a quarterback that you know is a project, I think every team's policy is, yeah, we'd like you to play early and often.
Is Jaden Hicks your favorite pick still?
I mean,
that's what you said on the podcast.
Xavier Worthy was outside of Xavier Worthy, who I'm the most excited for. Jaden Hicks is my favorite player. Like, just everything he does.
I like that fourth round, man. Him and Wiley.
Yeah, like that was really strong by the Chiefs. I think that was one of the things that really kind of solidified the draft for me. Yeah, I think you look at Jaden Hicks. That's going to be a guy, I think, you know, 25, probably your strong safety replacement for Justin Reed.
Spags guy, man. Can play the line of scrimmage. Yeah. He's a ball hawk.
He loves that from his safety.
He sniffs out screens. Right. He destroys them.
Like, the run game, I think teams are going to have some trouble if, you know, you have him out there in that star position. I think that short passing game, he's going to be a monster in that. That's one of the things that pops on film, how he defends the short passing game, screens, quick outs, you know, those swing routes that those running backs will run. They kind of swing out into the flats there. Those are something that he's going to be able to sniff out. When the Chiefs want to run man coverage, I think he's going to be really good in those short routes there. Yeah, I'm a big, big fan of what Jaden Hicks is going to bring to this team.
I'm curious about Jared Wiley, the tight end, which is interesting because he was down there at Camp Pat. Like, he was down there working. How big was Mahomes in this factor? Probably pretty big. We had his coach on, Sonny Dykes, that joined you and I this past weekend. This kind of stood out to me about the red zone, because he did lead the nation in touchdown catches for tight ends, and I think that's important. But this is what Sonny Dykes told you and I about him in that red zone.
Yeah, he does, and he's such a big body. You know, that's the one thing he does so well is, you know, he can make contested catches and covers defenders up because he is so long, and he can go get the ball, and he's the perfect red zone guy. I mean, he was – you know, we struggled a little bit this year in the red zone, and Jared was the guy that we could count on. You know, we had a difficult time running the ball, so we relied on him to make a bunch of plays, and he made them.
12 and 13 personnel is going to be used a lot for the Chiefs when Rashee Rice misses some games.
I don't know if that necessarily is going to be the case. Maybe we see them do that, but I could totally see the Chiefs still putting out 3-4 receivers out there.
We'll ask you about that. Sean Barber texted an interesting text, I think, something I want to discuss next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
New York City. New York City. You are now rapping with 50 Cent. You gotta love it.
I just wanna chill and
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Sinocera. We'll talk to Ron Kopp coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Nate Taylor had joined Cody and Gold, and this is what he thought the Rashee Rice suspension could look like.
I'm just putting it out there, guys. Everybody needs to be prepared for like the 6 to 8 games. You hope to, you know, for I'm saying this from like Rashee Rice's perspective. You hope the player association gets involved. You hope your agent, your lawyer sort of provide the best case scenario. You have a meeting with Roger Goodell. You appeal this thing and maybe it gets back to 4. But I think worst case scenario is something like 8 to 10. I just want to make that clear for everybody.
Yeah, the worst case scenario, James Palmer had said that on the Steve Smith's podcast, that could be half the year. Maybe if they throw it, I can see the appeal bringing it down 4 to 6, though. 4 to 6 games, not half the season.
I get the feeling it'll probably be about 6. You know,
so appeal down to 6.
Yeah, I think they'll probably say somewhere, yeah, in that 8 to 10, and I think they'll appeal it down to 6.
Get down to 6.
I mean, look, this is what it is. This is a situation that Rashee got himself into, being young and dumb, and, you know, this is a learning experience for him. I hope he learns from it. I hope that all the other players on that team learn from it, and it's something that helps him grow into a bigger player because you know, it's good to have a little adversity early on in your career, especially after you've had a little success.
He needs to go speak at the rookie symposium.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Rookie symposium guy for sure.
Don't do this.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I mean, look, this is just, it's just part of the territory, and I really hope that that Andy and them have really like gotten through Mahomes for sure. Like, I guarantee you, when that whole story broke down, Mahomes is texting him like, what the hell are you doing, bro?
Yeah, in his car was Chiefs playbook.
Yeah, it was just like, what are you doing out here racing in broad daylight on the highway with other cars there? That's just not a smart thing to do, and I hope the kid learns his lesson.
Well, Sean Barber had texted in this group text, and then get your opinion. He says, even without Rice, the wide receiver tight end room is better now than it was at any point last season.
It is. He's right.
I agree with him.
He's 100% right.
I agree with him, but even without Rice, but you throw Rice in there, that's your, you know, your number one. Obviously, that's important, but, you know, Wiley does make your tight end room. I know they brought in Irv
Smith.
I don't
necessarily think they're going to use Rice as a number one this year. I think Hollywood's
But the tight end room is better. I mean, the tight end room is better.
Better.
There's more competition. Having Hollywood Brown here gives you, you know, a proven guy. Another first-round pick, a guy that can catch damn near everything thrown to him, can spread the field. Yes, having Rice there does make the difference. It makes it a hell of a lot better than it was last year. But the maturation process of guys going from year one to year two to year three, it's immeasurable, man. These guys have experience, but not just experience. Championship experience was huge, except for Hollywood. He didn't have it yet, but he's hoping to. Hollywood Brown's got a lot of reasons to do extremely well. And not only that, something Veach said that's kind of under the radar during his pre-draft press conference was this.
You know, Hollywood situation played out the way he did, and think he's going to be a great one-year addition for us, and he's going to set himself up nicely moving forward. So I think we're excited.
A great one-year addition. I couldn't agree more. With saying, hey, it's a one-year addition. He's going to come in here. He's going to play with Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid's going to design him plays. And the big winner here is going to be Hollywood Brown because he's going to put up numbers. Numbers in the NFL get receivers paid. The Chiefs already have their guy in Xavier Worthy. It's very similar skill set to Hollywood Brown.
And I'll say this, like I said it, you know, this past weekend as well, but I'll say it again here. I don't necessarily know if the Chiefs' rookie wide receiver rule applies to Xavier Worthy. One of the things they talked about was his intellect. He was a guy that was immediately impressive and a guy who made a major contribution to Texas as a true freshman when he was there. And this is a kid that I think really fits into what the Chiefs like to do. Don't be shocked if he immediately comes in and they find a way to kind of incorporate him into the offense, similar to the way that the Chiefs did when Tyreek Hill in 2016 first started playing on the team.
And hey, everybody's got their type. That's their type.
And that's their guy. They very much of their favorite archetype for wide receiver. It's the Tyreek Hill type. Andy's always been about the speed guy. He was like that when he had Deshaun. You know, Terrell Owens, even though Terrell Owens was a big body guy, still had a lot of speed on him and they could use him down the field. He just loves that type. And I really think that, you know, you look at Xavier Worthy and there's things that they can do with him that they were not able to do with any of their receivers the last 2 years. And I think having him in that role is going to be really, really dangerous for this coming year.
So the range probably about 4 to 6 games. Well, the Chiefs always run a lot of 12 and 13.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess probably 6. I don't think it's gonna be any less than 6. Like
I could see it being 4.
If he gets 4, that's a huge W for the team.
100%.
It's a big win for Rashi.
He was in front of it. He was in front of it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you remember he was kind of there was a delay there before we started finding out details, and
he
actually turned himself
in the NFL because he admitted it.
Yeah, and he had to because it was. It was on camera. Like somebody had their dash cam,
well,
and
no
they
question.
Had it.
He
so
did, but he,
there was not a whole lot of disputing he could do about.
And he's
that.
Got good legal advice.
Oh yeah, sure. And you know, I guarantee the Chiefs help them get the best
involved.
Lawyers. Of course, and of course, the union, you know, is going to be involved in that. So yeah, I mean, I think 4 is a little optimistic, but I think 6 sounds like a good number.
I just don't believe in half. I just don't see that happening.
In what?
Half the games.
I mean, if it happens, it happens, man. This is just. This is something that is really on Rashi. So if they say 8 games, then that's just what it is. I'm not really in the business saying that's unfair because what he did could have killed people. So at that point now, if that's what the price is, that's what the price is. You deal with it and you move on.
Very expensive thing. Very expensive thing.
Oh, it's not even just expensive, though. It's going to like – that's something that like – I guarantee you there were teammates of his on the Chiefs that like – actively cursed when they saw that news come across because they're like, dude, that is such a stupid thing to do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you any more than that. Coming up next, though, Ron Kopp, lead analyst from arrowheadpride.com, get his thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs draft and stuff moving forward.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app, brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero here on After Hours, talking a little Royals, talking a little Chiefs draft, trying to connect with Ron Kopp here at some point. He's been busy writing evaluations of some of the Chiefs' later picks and also some of the undrafted free agents that they sign, which, you know, Monty Bailey, I like, Carson Steele. You know, led the MAC in rushing 2 years ago, played the UCLA last year.
A lot of people are really excited about Carson Steele because of his size.
Yeah, Carson Steele, he's got that, you know, he's big enough now to be a fullback. Like, if that's what you want.
Yeah, he's got
be
fullback able. Size.
He does, and he's a good runner, too. I mean, you lead the MAC in rushing 2 years ago, or 1,500 yards. Had a great year last year with UCLA. Here is an undrafted free agent. Chiefs didn't pick up a running back. They're deciding to go this direction. Imani Bailey is a guy that is going to, well, if you watch his measurables aren't great, but if you watch his film, it's much different. And he shows that elusiveness. Was a honorable mention all Big 12, did hit over 1,000 yards last year. But Imani Bailey, it'll be a battle. Clyde will be on the roster. They bring him back. They sign him. I feel J.K. Dobbins would have been that guy. After the draft, had they not got the guy they wanted, they would have gone that direction with J.K. Dobbins, but obviously he's with the Chargers at this point. Just a diamond in the rough, see what he's still got left. Obviously his career has been hampered by injuries, but his amazing talent, but they don't have him, so go a different direction. Clyde will be here. Obviously Pacheco will get the bulk of the carries. And I expect Clyde will get some time too. I mean, Clyde will get some time with this team, but I do. And Denerick Prince, I don't know. Denerick Prince had a chance last year. He was the returner slotted, and it just didn't work out. He's still on this roster. So Denerick Prince out of Tulsa was on the roster last year. We'll make it back, but there's going to be a nice little preseason. That's what's going to be about. Which running back kind of carries the load?
You know, I'm not too concerned about it. Like someone texted in earlier about their concern about the running back position. I kind of find it to be one of the least interesting positions out there just because I kind of feel like it's going to be the Pop and Clyde show this year. And I kind of think that third running back probably doesn't get a lot of playing time. Maybe they'll get some touches here and there if they really, you know, showcase their skills. If I had to guess who's going to get that, I would say Denerick Prince is probably the leader in the clubhouse for that.
Just by having a year of experience.
Right, yeah.
With this team.
Yeah. I kind of think that's where it goes.
But running behind this line, I mean, that's what you want. I mean, You're not facing, you know, eight-man fronts. The respect for Mahomes, these defenses have. You would think running the football for the Chiefs would be a luxury, that you'd be back there because all the intention is going to be on downfield and where Patrick Mahomes will go, and you could definitely pick up the rushing yards, but just be, you know, being a guy. Imani Bailey, interesting guy for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk to Ron Kopp now. Ron joins us. Now the lead analyst at ArrowheadPride.com. Ron, what's up, my friend? Ron, are you there?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man? We get the draft in the books.
No, I honestly, dude, I will say I just got distracted. I was so into my way too early training camp predictions for AP Premier. I wasn't looking at my phone.
You know what? I said the same thing. I said, I know you're busy on doing some profiles on undrafted free agents. And I said, I guarantee that's what he's doing.
No, just a little heads up for anyone who's got the premiere, anyone who's interested. I got some juicy takes for the way too early training camp preview, just kind of a few things that could happen at camp. So
the premiere is a good thing, too. It's what you guys have as a newsletter, and it's just stuff that you don't get on Arrowhead Pride with your with the premiere that you guys put out. It's good stuff.
Yeah, you know, because the site, you know, we like to be, I like to be informative. I like to break it down. I like to give you guys the facts. But, you know, I like to get it into my opinions a little bit, kind of give you a little off script on the premiere. So it's definitely worth the, and Pete does the same thing. So, and then we get good guests on and stuff. So definitely worth the subscription. But what's up, Jay?
Well, Ron, you know, with the drafts in the books, we had you a lot on before the draft started. See which direction that you like the Chiefs go. And in one of the some of the breakdown that you have is the tight end to get in the fourth round, pick 131, Jared Wiley. What's your impression on him after kind of going through the film?
Well, it is one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be excited. Like, there's a lot of reasons I understand why the expectations are going to be super high through the ceiling. I mean, you compare his athletic build, his traits in terms of his athletic testing. You know, you can compare him directly to the guy that he's going to be playing with, the future Hall of Famer in Travis Kelce, and you can say, oh, my gosh, you know, this is a guy that has a similar kind of linear speed, you know, similar kind of get up with the ball in his hands, you know, an ability to really run past defenders, you know, and really, you know, work a seam. But, you know, that's the thing is Kelce came a long way. You know, Kelce, you know, really did, you know, develop into something special. And that's where Wiley, you know, does have a lot of things to work on just in terms of, you know, being a yards after catch player. You know, I think he gets tackled a little too easy and definitely, you know, has some things where, you know, he's just not as just smooth and swift as a route runner as Kelce. But, man, that's where Kelce is just special. But the thing with Wiley is, man, right away you're getting someone that's going to give you explosiveness in terms of, you know, big playability on those crossing routes, on those up the seam routes, on, you know, vertical passes, you know, and he is pretty fluid out of his release as a flexed out tight end, right? So, I mean, you can flex out in your 12, 13 personnel packages, and, you know, and just give the defense another look, right? They're already going to be so stressed having to deal with Marquise Brown, Xavier Worthy, all the speed they got to deal with, you know, at the receivers. Even when the Chiefs go into heavy personnel packages, they're going to be able to spread out and still threaten defenses, you know, with those same kind of, you know, just crossing routes and spreading them out. And, you know, even when they have linebackers on the field, because Wiley does have that kind of stretching speed. So there's definitely room for him to be a playmaker, kind of like a you know, maybe like a Jody Fortson, you know, just maybe a little bit, you know, more than that right away. But it does remain to be seen if he's going to develop past that, because he does have some things to work on, especially as a blocker, too. I think he has a lot of things to work on as a blocker.
Coach Sonny Dykes of TCU did like the way that he could block his acumen doing that, but he's more than just the guy. This guy can catch it. And one thing you showed is impressive acceleration. The speed at the combine is not going to blow you away, but one thing is he did have that 81-yard touchdown against Baylor, which showed that, you know, he can create and he can get down the field.
Dude, he just gets out of off the line really, really quickly. But also, like, it's just that 20-yard split, right? You look at the 40 times, and you look at, you know, it's the 10-yard split to start, and then it's that 20-yard, I think it's called the fly, right? See, that's where he really excelled. If you look at his athletic scores, that was really kind of where it was relatively, you know, the highest mark. I think you can see it in his, you know, when he does get the ball in his hands with an open runway. And that's the thing. TCU really did a good job of putting him in those situations, kind of like a young Kelce in 2014, right, where you saw the Chiefs put him in these play action positions where he's getting the ball running into the flat, you know, with momentum, or he's getting, you know, on bubble screens, or he's getting it, you know, up the seam. You know, they're giving him the ball with momentum, with room to run in front of him, and that's where he's at his best. And I think the Chiefs will do a very similar thing. They're set up to do it, right? I mean, their offense lends to getting the guy's ball, you know, the ball in his hands on shallow crossing routes, on deeper crossing routes. I think there's a few good reps I posted where he didn't get the ball, but you can just kind of see that, you know, he really can maintain his speed and kind of work through, you know, the crowded defense and be a threat, you know, at the third level, you know, second and third level, you know, on those crossing routes. So I think he is very well set up to be a immediate, you know, impact, just only to so much of an extent, man. There's a lot of mouths to feed in Kansas City.
Ron, one of the things we talked about last year was your favorite pick. My favorite pick, I like Shamari Connor. Again, this is about under-the-radar guys. Like, which guy on the roster do you like? Which is the one that stands out? So let me ask you this. What do you consider the best value, and then who is Ron Kopp's favorite selection? Doesn't have to be the best player, the best selection to you.
Man, I mean, I hate to cheat, but I honestly think my favorite pick is my favorite value. And I'll talk about another guy, too. But Kingsley Suamatia, getting him in the bottom of the second round when there was chances, obviously, where it felt like – and we have seen players with his tools, even at that low of a development level, right? Obviously, he's only had 1 year of college experience at left tackle. He's coming out of the redshirt sophomore. We have seen those guys go in the first round. I mean, honestly, one guy that comes to mind is Tyler Smith from Tulsa, you know, from a few years ago with Dallas. I mean, he was a redshirt sophomore coming out, and he was a raw player in a similar way. It's just amazing how he did come all the way to 64. And I think at that point, it's such a good value where you are not having to force him into play right away. You know, if you pick him at 32, you do feel a certain pressure where, you know, hey, it's a first-round pick. You know, I know we didn't have that last year with Felix, but it's a left tackle. It's a more important position. Now with that value already, you know, using that first round pick, it makes more sense where he's that development tackle. You can give him a little more time, but at the same time, man, I think there's a chance that, you know, he blows expectations out of the water and really is just a, you know, a really good, you know, just a kick butt offensive tackle, man, left tackle. I think his ceiling is as high as anybody, you know, that they could have picked, you know, from at 32 in terms of ceiling wise. I just didn't know if they were going to wait around for that, you know, maybe those tools to come together. But, man, I am excited about Kingsley. I think by the end, by the time that he's looking, you know, after that third year looking for a rookie deal, he could be a guy you sign, you extend before he really peaks. And then all of a sudden you have a really, really, really good left tackle, you know, for kind of a good deal before he hits free agency and really proves himself as one of the top guys.
In your opinion, can he beat out Wanya Morris?
You know, I honestly think Wanya is going to, you know, stave him off for week one. I really do. I just think Wanya showed a kind of honestly a high floor in terms of what he can do as a player for the Chiefs last year. And I think he just kind of having that year to sharpen his tools, coming in the offseason motivated, right? You know he's going to be coming into camp ready to, you know, prove himself over that second round pick, the high pick that everyone's going to be excited about. I do think, you know, Kingsley is going to have to prove himself, you know, this season, and maybe not, that's not going to happen right away in week one, but the Chiefs have shown an ability, or I should say a willingness, to mix around the offensive line, right? I mean, we've seen them shake it up. We've seen them try guys out at certain spots to get the right spot. So even if Wanya Morris starts week one at left tackle, there's a chance, you know, if Kingsley is really, you know, improving over the year that he overtakes him at some point, just because I do think he has the higher ceiling and the higher potential.
One guy that Chris and I really, really like to stay in that fourth round pick 133, Jaden Hicks, the safety. Brett Veach did mention, hey, maybe a safety is what they'll get. They've had great luck at this position. Jaden Hicks, number one on Dane Brugler's tight end board. He was number 39 prospect overall. This was tremendous value. But Jaden Hicks is somebody that we really liked. I don't know your feelings on Jaden. I haven't seen your breakdown of him yet, but what do you think of him?
Well, I will give you the value point because I do think, you know, my first initial reaction is, look, you know, I do think safety, you might be playing some overkill a little bit at this position where it's a non-premium position. It's a position that, you know, you don't, you know, want to invest highly and you just don't need to. It's not that important of a position comparatively.
It's a dying position.
But But then you think about what Steve Spagnuolo does with his safeties. How many times we see 3 to 4 safeties on the field at the same time? The versatility it gives you, the ability, you know, the different ways they can attack, you know, on third downs, you know, not giving the quarterback the same look twice because, you know, they have different safeties doing different responsibilities each time. That only improves, not only extends having another guy in that same sort of, I think he's more of a Brian Cook, kind of player and a Justin kind of player where he can really fly around the back end and be a playmaker. I think Chamari Connor is still going to be that strong safety type where you really want him closer to the line of scrimmage, coming up on the line of scrimmage rather than necessarily being in the back end. But I think Hicks can do it all. And so can B. Cook to an extent. I think B. Cook has shown that. I wish he wouldn't have got hurt last year. I think he would have been a huge part of the defense winning the Super Bowl last year if he would have stayed healthy. This safety position is loaded, man. And, again, Jay Reed's contract's up after next year. And that's what you saw them do with Tyrann Mathieu is move on and trust the young guys. And obviously they signed Jay Reed after that. But, you know, it's kind of what the Chiefs have done a few times in this era, right? You know, kind of the, you know, just kind of, hey, you know, it is what it is. And they're absolutely ready to do it, right? Because, you know, they're loaded at the safety position. And Spags loves to use them. So it honestly is the right move here. They set themselves up well.
And you get Nazi Johnson back this year as well from that injury that he had last year. As far as undrafted free agents, Ron, I know you're going to take a look at these guys too. The text line really likes Carson Steele, the running back that was at Ball State, led the MAC in rushing, was at UCLA last year. Amani Bailey, the Chiefs gave $210,000 guaranteed to, the running back out of TCU. Any of these, and Curtis Jacobs, the linebacker of Penn State that a lot of people thought was going to be drafted. Any of these guys pop out to you?
You know, I mean, Curtis Jacobs is obviously the guy where it's like, you know, if the Chiefs weren't going to address linebacker, of course they're going to get him as the UDFA. But no, Amani Bailey was someone I liked, you know, out of the gate in this draft process. His RAS and his athletic testing was just scared me. And I was just like, well, I guess he's not really going to be an option maybe because he did have, you know, really poor, athletic testing compared, you know, to his, to what kind of his athletic profile. But man, when you look at the tape, he has some bursts, you know, he can really cut, you know, into a lane and really, you know, get going. I mean, he absolutely, you know, is faster play speed on the field than he is, you know, testing. And he really does fit, I think, you know, the Chiefs offense. You know, I think because he does run hard, he can run through arm tackles. So I'm excited to see if he can work his way into the running back room. Because, man, who's in there? It's Isaiah Pacheco and then
Clyde.
It's wide open, man. I know Clyde's in there, but I really think it's anybody who wants to step up in this training camp has an opportunity to really earn snaps. And that could absolutely be Amani Bailey, the way he runs. The way he just kind of already, you know, and he has a receiving profile too that I think
he's a great receiver as a back.
Yeah, no, there's one catch against Texas Tech, I think, where he just works up the seam and, you know, kind of turns and makes it over his head. I mean, that, you know, that's not something most running, you know, a lot of running backs do. So that's something that's going to be enticing to them. They need someone that's going to be able to play on passing downs. So yeah, I think Carson Steele is enticing for sure because he can be kind of versatile as well. But man, Amani Bailey just kind of is that. Kind of a fit to me, honestly, with how the spread Chiefs kind of run game.
Well, I ended up loving this draft. I mean, I felt that they hit the needs they needed to do. We can make an argument they need to get one more pass catcher. Maybe so, but Hunter Norzad, you know, at a Penn State, the versatile offensive lineman that could do anything on that offensive line, played center in all Big Ten selection last year for Penn State doing that. Kamal Haddon is a guy that Chris and I really liked. Chris had mocked him a few weeks ago in our Chiefs mock, but they hit their needs, man. It may not be flashy, some of these picks, but it was definitely needed.
No, honestly, I really do think that Veach knocked it out of the park. I mean, the one thing I was really wanting to do is get a true guard like Christian Mahogany. I know he was falling, and man, he was someone I really liked in the pre-draft process. Really would have loved to see him as that future guard if they are moving on. But that's the thing. I think the way they attack this process is I don't really think they want to let go of any of these guys, right? You know, they really want to try to, you know, maintain, I think, this core. And a guy like Hunter Norzad really fits the profile of that Nick Allegretti, right, where he just really can play both
spots. Yeah, Veach mentioned that a couple times that this is Allegretti.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, he really has that positional versatility. You know, he started as a tackle at Cornell, but then he was actually a high
school. Ron, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, what's going on, man? Get the draft in the books.
No, I honestly, dude, I will say I just got distracted. I was so into my way too early training camp prediction for AP Premier. I wasn't looking at my phone.
You know what? I said the same thing. I said, I know you're busy on doing some profiles on undrafted free agents. And I said, I guarantee that's what he's doing.
No, just a little heads up for anyone who's got the Premier, anyone who's interested. I got some juicy takes for the way too early training camp preview, just kind of a few things that could happen at camp. So
the Premier is a good thing, too. It's what you guys have as a newsletter, and it's just stuff that you don't get on Arrowhead Pride with your with the Premier that you guys put out. It's good stuff.
Yeah, you know, because the site, you know, we like to be, you know, I like to be informative. I like to break it down. I like to give you guys the facts. But, you know, I like to get it into my opinions a little bit, kind of give you a little off script on the Premier. So it's definitely worth the, and Pete does the same thing. So, and then we get good guests on and stuff. So definitely worth the subscription. But what's up, Jay?
Well, Ron, you know, with the drafts in the books, we had you a lot on before the draft started. See which direction that you like the Chiefs go. And in one of the some of the breakdown that you have is the tight end to get in the fourth round, pick 131, Jared Wiley. What's your impression on him after kind of going through the film?
Well, it is one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of reasons to be excited. Like, there's a lot of reasons I understand why the expectations are going to be super high through the ceiling. I mean, you compare his athletic build, his traits in terms of his athletic testing. You know, you can compare him directly to the guy that he's going to be playing with, the future Hall of Famer in Travis Kelce, and you can say, oh, my gosh, you know, this is a guy that has a similar kind of linear speed, you know, similar kind of get up with the ball in his hands, you know, an ability to really run past defenders, you know, and really, you know, work a seam. But, you know, that's the thing is Kelce came a long way. You know, Kelce, you know, really did, you know, develop into something special. And that's where Wiley, you know, does have a lot of things to work on just in terms of, you know, being a yards after catch player. You know, I think he gets tackled a little too easy and definitely, you know, has some things where, you know, he's just not as just smooth and swift as a route runner as Kelce. But, man, that's where Kelce is just special. But the thing with Wiley is, man, right away you're getting someone that's going to give you explosiveness in terms of, you know, big playability on those crossing routes, on those up the seam routes, on, you know, vertical passes, you know, and he is pretty fluid out of his release as a flexed out tight end, right? So, I mean, you can flex out in your 12, 13 personnel packages, and, you know, and just give the defense another look, right? They're already going to be so stressed having to deal with Marquise Brown, Xavier Worthy, all the speed they got to deal with, you know, at the receivers. Even when the Chiefs go into heavy personnel package, they're going to be able to spread out and still threaten defenses, you know, with those same kind of, you know, just crossing routes and spreading them out. And, you know, even when they have linebackers on the field, because Wiley does have that kind of stretching speed. So there's definitely room for him to be a playmaker, kind of like a you know, maybe like a Jody Fortson, you know, just maybe a little bit, you know, more than that right away. But it does remain to be seen if he's going to develop past that, because he does have some things to work on, especially as a blocker, too. I think he has a lot of things to work on as a blocker.
Coach Sonny Dykes of TCU did like the way that he could block his acumen doing that, but he's more than just the guy. This guy can catch it. And one thing you showed is impressive acceleration. The speed at the combine is not going to blow you away, but one thing is he did have that 81-yard touchdown against Baylor, which showed that, you know, he can create and he can get down the field.
Dude, he just gets out of off the line really, really quickly. But also, like, it's just that 20-yard split, right? You look at the 40 times, and you look at, you know, it's the 10-yard split to start, and then it's that 20-yard, I think it's called the fly, right? See, that's where he really excelled. If you look at his athletic scores, that was really kind of where it was relatively, you know, the highest mark. I think you can see it in his, you know, when he does get the ball in his hands with an open runway. And that's the thing. TCU really did a good job of putting him in those situations, kind of like a young Kelce in 2014, right, where you saw the Chiefs put him in these play-action positions where he's getting the ball running into the flat, you know, with momentum, or he's getting, you know, on bubble screens, or he's getting it, you know, up the seam. You know, they're giving him the ball with momentum, with room to run in front of him, and that's where he's at his best. And I think the Chiefs will do a very similar thing. They're set up to do it, right? I mean, their offense lends to getting the guy's ball, you know, the ball in his hands on shallow crossing routes, on deeper crossing routes. I think there's a few good reps I posted where, he didn't get the ball, but you can just kind of see that, you know, he really can maintain his speed and kind of work through, you know, the crowded defense and be a threat, you know, at the third level, you know, second and third level, you know, on those crossing routes. So I think he is very well set up to be a immediate, you know, impact, just only to so much of an extent, man. There's a lot of mouths to feed in Kansas City.
Ron, one of the things we talked about last year was your favorite pick. My favorite pick, I like Shamari Connor. Again, this is about under-the-radar guys. Like, which guy in the roster do you like? Which is the one that stands out? So let me ask you this. What do you consider the best value, and then who is Ron Cobb's favorite selection? Doesn't have to be the best player, the best selection to you.
Man, I mean, I hate to cheat, but I honestly think my favorite pick is my favorite value. And I'll talk about another guy too, but Kingsley Suamatia, getting him in the bottom of the second round when there was chances, obviously, where it felt like, and we have seen players with his tools, even at that low of a development level, right? Obviously, he's only had 1 year of college experience at left tackle. He's coming out of the redshirt sophomore. We have seen those guys go in the first round. I mean, honestly, one guy that comes to mind is Tyler Smith from Tulsa, you know, from a few years ago with Dallas. I mean, he was a redshirt sophomore coming out, and he was a raw player in a similar way. It's just amazing how he did come all the way to 64. And I think at that point, it's such a good value where you are not having to force him into play right away. You know, if you pick him at 32, you do feel a certain pressure where, you know, hey, it's a first-round pick. You know, I know we didn't have that last year with Felix, but it's a left tackle. It's a more important position. Now with that value already, you know, using that first round pick, it makes more sense where he's that development tackle. You can give him a little more time. But at the same time, man, I think there's a chance that, you know, he blows expectations out of the water and really is just a really good, you know, just a kick butt offensive tackle, man, left tackle. I think his ceiling is as high as anybody, you know, that they could have picked, you know, from at 32 in terms of ceiling wise. I just didn't know if they were going to wait around for that, you know, maybe those tools to come together. But man, I am excited about Kingsley. I think by the time that he's looking, you know, after that third year looking for a rookie deal, he could be a guy you sign, you extend before he really peaks, and then all of a sudden you have a really, really, really good left tackle, you know, for kind of a good deal before he hits free agency and really proves himself as one of the top guys.
In your opinion, can he beat out Wanya Morris?
You know, I honestly think Wanya is going to, you know, stave him off for week one. I really do. I just think Wanya showed a kind of honestly a high floor in terms of what he can do as a player for the Chiefs last year. And I think he just kind of having that year to sharpen his tools, coming in the offseason motivated, right? You know he's going to be coming into camp ready to, you know, prove himself over that second round pick, the high pick that everyone's going to be excited about. I do think, you know, Kingsley is going to have to prove himself, you know, this season, and maybe not. That's not going to happen right away in week one. But the Chiefs have shown an ability, or I should say, a willingness, to mix around the offensive line. Right? I mean, we've seen them shake it up. We've seen them try guys out at certain spots to get the right spot. So, even if Wanya Morris starts week one at left tackle, there's a chance, you know, if Kingsley is really, you know, improving over the year, that he overtakes him at some point, just because I do think he has a higher ceiling and the higher potential.
One guy that Chris and I really, really like to stay in that fourth round, pick 133, Jaden Hicks, the safety. Brett Veach did mention, hey, maybe a safety is what they'll get. They've had great luck at this position. Jaden Hicks, number one on Dane Brugler's tight end board. He was number 39 prospect overall. This was tremendous value. But Jaden Hicks is somebody that we really liked. I don't know your feelings on Jaden. I haven't seen your breakdown of him yet, but what do you think of him?
Well, I will give you the value point, because I do think, you know, my first initial reaction is, look, you know, I do think safety, you might be playing some overkill a little bit at this position, where it's a non-premium position. It's a position that, you know, you don't, you know, want to invest highly, and you just don't need to. It's not that important of a position comparatively.
It's a dying position.
But then you think about what Steve Spagnuolo does with his safeties. How many times we see 3 to 4 safeties on the field at the same time, the versatility it gives you, the ability, you know, the different ways they can attack, you know, on third downs, you know, not giving the quarterback the same look twice because, you know, they have different safeties doing different responsibilities each time. That only improves, not only extends having another guy in that same sort of, I think he's more of a Brian Cook, kind of player, and a Justin kind of player, where he can really fly around the back end and be a playmaker. I think Chamari Connor is still going to be that strong safety type where you really want him closer to the line of scrimmage, coming up on the line of scrimmage rather than necessarily being in the back end. But I think Hicks can do it all. And so can B. Cook to an extent. I think B. Cook has shown that. I wish he wouldn't have got hurt last year. I think he would have been a huge part of the defense winning the Super Bowl last year if he would have stayed healthy. This safety position is loaded, man. And, again, Jay Reed's contract's up after next year. And that's what you saw them do with Tyrann Mathieu is move on and trust the young guys. And obviously they signed Jay Reed after that. But, you know, it's kind of what the Chiefs have done a few times in this era, right? You know, kind of it is what it is, and they're absolutely ready to do it, right? Because they're loaded at the safety position, and Spags loves to use them. So it honestly is the right move here. They set themselves up well.
And you get Nazi Johnson back this year as well from that injury that he had last year. As far as undrafted free agents, Ron, I know you're going to take a look at these guys too. The text line really likes Carson Steele, the running back that was at Ball State, led the MAC in rushing, was at UCLA last year. Amani Bailey, the Chiefs gave $210,000 guaranteed to, the running back out of TCU. Any of these, and Curtis Jacobs, the linebacker of Penn State that a lot of people thought was going to be drafted. Any of these guys pop out to you?
You know, I mean, Curtis Jacobs is obviously the guy where it's like, if the Chiefs weren't going to address linebacker, of course they're going to get him as the UDFA. But no, Amani Bailey was someone I liked, out of the gate in this draft process. His RAS and his athletic testing just scared me. And I was just like, well, I guess he's not really going to be an option maybe, because he did have, really poor, athletic testing compared, to his, to what kind of his athletic profile. But man, when you look at the tape, he has some bursts. He can really cut, into a lane and really, get going. I mean, he absolutely, is faster play speed on the field than he is, testing. And he really does fit, I think, the Chiefs offense. I think because he does run hard, he can run through arm tackles. And so I'm excited to see if he can work his way into that running room. Cause man, who's in there? It's Isaiah Pacheco. And then
Clyde.
It's wide open, man. I know Clyde's in there, but I really think it's anybody who wants to step up in this training camp has an opportunity to really earn snaps. And that could absolutely be Amani Bailey, the way he runs, the way he just kind of already, and he has a receiving profile too that I think.
He's a great receiver as a back.
Yeah, no, there's one catch against Texas Tech, I think, where he just works up the seam and, kind of turns and makes it over his head. I mean, that's not something a lot of running backs do, so. That's something that's going to be enticing to them. They need someone that's going to be able to play on passing downs. So, yeah, I think Carson Steele is enticing for sure, because he can be kind of versatile as well. But, man, Amani Bailey just kind of is that – kind of a fit to me, honestly, with how the Chiefs – the spread Chiefs kind of run game.
Well, I ended up loving this draft. I mean, I felt that they hit the needs they needed to do. We can make an argument they didn't need to get one more pass catcher. Maybe so, but Hunter Norzad – at a Penn State, the versatile offensive lineman that could do anything on that offensive line, played center, an all Big Ten selection last year for Penn State doing that. Kamal Haddon is a guy that Chris and I really liked. Chris had mocked him a few weeks ago in our Chiefs mock, but they hit their needs, man. It may not be flashy, some of these picks, but it was definitely needed.
No, honestly, I really do think that Veach knocked it out of the park. I mean, the one thing I was really wanting to do is get a true guard like Christian Mahogany. I know he was falling, and man, he was someone I really liked in the pre-draft process. Really would have loved to see him as that future guard if they are moving on. But that's the thing. I think the way they attack this process is I don't really think they want to let go of any of these guys, right? They really want to try to, maintain, I think, this core. And a guy like Hunter Norzad really fits the profile of that Nick Allegretti, right, where he just really can play both
spots. Veach mentioned really that a couple player. Times, that this is Allegretti.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, he really has that positional versatility. He started as a tackle at Cornell, but then he was actually a high school center. His last 3 years in high school, he was a center, became a guard, obviously, for his first year at Penn State, then moved to center his last year. So he really does have that experience down. And a guy like CJ Hansen just looks like a true guard to me. So he might be someone they think they could develop into a guard in the future. I think he's someone that, maybe isn't as versatile as Norzad, but he's someone that has an exciting kind of ceiling to him as that true guard. He's kind of got that tall, big build that he needs to build into for sure. CJ Hansen that is from Holy Cross, but nor is that again. He's just that Nick Allegretti type. But I don't know. There's a chance he can snap, man. He's got those, I don't know what they think about his future. If he really shows out, it could impact the way they, attack, Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey coming up.
Yeah, I love it. I thought the draft was great. I guess it's time to start looking at 2025, Ron, but I know you have to table that because you have a lot of other stuff to cover before we get to that point, because you kind of do it all over there at Arrowhead Pride.
No, it is exciting to get through the UDFA class, and definitely, if there's any of these rookie minicamp guys that pan out, always we'll take a look at them. But, training camp would be fun this year, man. It's going to be different, right, with all the new offensive weapons, all the rookies on offense. You can kind of look at, Jared Wiley type and Xavier Worthy type. Camp's going to be as fun as it has been in years. Marquise Brown, obviously, there. It's going to be a fun time. I can't wait for July.
Good stuff, Ron. Thanks a million, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Jay.
There you go. Ron Kopp right there, lead analyst, arrowheadpride.com. Coming up next, I'll react to some stuff that Ron said there before we flip into the 8 o'clock hour.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome back, Jim Inglis, Christian Ocero. Big thanks to Ron Kopp from ArrowheadPride.com for joining us. You the same as Ron, Chris? Can't wait to get to St. Joe? You always make your way up there a few times.
I did not go last year,
oh, you did?
But yeah, I'll definitely try to make at least one trip there.
Yeah, it's worth it.
I'm really interested to see that the wide receiver battle, the left tackle battle. So yeah, I'm really interested in that.
It kind of was. I want to see Worthy and Hollywood out there together. I just see what that kind of does.
Yeah, I'm really, really interested to see kind of where that comes from.
Yeah, see that the left tackle battle be interesting. I always my favorite thing at training camp is the linemen, offense and defensive line, the one on ones, where they go at each other. Like that's only I don't know if you ever sit there or been there when they do that, but the back and forth between the offense and defensive line, it's probably my favorite drill to watch.
Yeah, I mean that's always going to be fun for me though. I'm really going to be interested in seeing them just do like the 7-on-7 stuff, the different wide receiver drills. I'm going to be really interested to see the kind of routes that they have Xavier running and kind of see where what he's going to be
screens,
able to do
the jet sweeps.
Yeah, I mean I don't think they're going to show that too much. That's going to be more so game time stuff, but like more so just the basic route running, like him line up in the slot, lined up out wide, how is he able to get open against these guys? Because they're going to test him very early on. You saw last year in training camp, the players were being really chippy and, they were being handsy even after the play. So I'll be interested to see what happens there. And certainly physical conditioning as well. Rashi Rice threw up first practice that he had when he reported. So that's going to be, I think, really interesting as well, as kind of seeing how he acclimates to an Andy Reid training camp.
Coming up next, though, take a look at the future of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals, where they might be playing next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.